Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And to prepare for Adam's review, I rewatched the Lego movie.
The movie that we'll be covering is Schindler's List. No, Lego Movie 2, semicolon, the second part.
I thought it was semicolon the second movie.
Second movie. I love that subtitle, like just completely unnecessary, like basically restating what it already has. It just amuses me.
What movie was it that it's semicolon? It's colon. Part due. What is that?
That's Hot Shots.
Hot Shots Part due.
Yes. Yeah. I believe it was pronounced due.
Due. Anyway, tell me about the Lego. So as it ended, because it's so fresh. You have whatever Chris Pratt's character's name is, because I've forgotten. Oh. Andy? No, that's a different show. Whatever his character's name is.
I want to say it's Owen, but it's not Owen.
No.
That's his character from...
It's
a considerably different character than the character he played in
Chris
Jurassic
Pratt
World.
As a Lego.
I don't think that's his name either.
He becomes, you know, the every builder, and they all build their own stuff, and then Will Ferrell stops being a jerk, and he's nice to his kid again, and they don't glue together the Legos, and everybody's happy. Dare I say, at the end of that movie, everything is awesome.
That is what the film would have you believe.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is not.
Okay. So does it pick up right where they're singing in awesomeness?
Or you're talking about kind of like a Back to the Future 2 situation?
Yeah, or is it like 10 years later? Or
It's sometime like after, like I don't think it's quite 10, but like it's kind of a desolate wasteland. And
oh, so like the kids have grown up and the dad doesn't play with it anymore?
I'm going to be honest, got into there late, so I didn't get to see the first, like, 5 minutes. But by the time I enter, it's a desolate wasteland.
Okay.
Almost in its own, like, Mad Max-esque scenario.
Okay, that could be funny.
Lucy is very distraught and very, very dark. And, of course, not Owen. Why can I not think of his name? It's Emmett.
Emmett. Yes,
Emmett. There
yes,
we go.
Yes.
I kept saying that, but I was like, no, that's Doc Brown from Back to the Future. Why do I keep thinking Emmett? Because his name was Emmett. That's
virtually,
why.
You can turn on any movie from the 80s and go, you know what? That's Doc Brown. That's Doc Brown.
Chris Lloyd was a little bit of everywhere then.
That's right. Anna However, Grace was watching The Addams Family as I left today, and
Uncle
I said, hey, that's Doc Brown. What? I said, yep.
And what's funny is Lego Back to the Future even plays into this film at one
really?
Point. There is a cameo that I couldn't tell for certain. I'm not going to ruin it here. But there is a very specific celebrity cameo in this movie that is that actual character. Like, doesn't really have any bearing on the plot. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, if they got him to do that, that would be... And then you hear the voice, and I'm like, maybe it's somebody that's just really, really good. But I looked it up, like, no, it's evidently them.
That's
like,
awesome. And what's so funny is, on my way over here to meet you, I passed an older white panel van, and to myself, I said, Adam, the Libyans! And, you know, not everyone would get that. Nothing against Libyans. Back to the Future.
No, this is 1985 was a different time.
That's right. When you could say things like that.
A very different time. And have the highest grossing film of the year.
That's right.
So, however you want to look at that.
Isn't it interesting how going through film, you can tell to some extent who the United States is friends with?
You can almost carbon date a film or a TV show, like based on your references. Like, okay, if you watch an episode of Friends, you can almost get it down to the week what style like was. Like, they're so trendy mm-hmm. on that. And like in the same way, like, okay, any James Bond mm-hmm. is a perfect example. You can almost tell who we are either like having some kind of like a stalemate with or a war with, because it always seems like he's fighting those individuals. Like during the Cold War,
mm-hmm.
all of them were Russians.
Yeah, there's always the Russians.
If they would
the
have made one during the 1940s, I'm sure James Bond would have been fighting the Germans.
Mm-hmm. And dare I say, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but in the original Star Trek TV show, yeah, we'll get back to the movie review, stuff it. In the original Star Trek TV show, the Klingons, who looked like average, everyday people, the
without
Klingons,
their forehead ridges and
yes,
what have you. Yes,
the Klingons were representing the Russians, were they not in a...
They were supposed to be
yes.
kind of a, yeah.
And so, very interesting, just thought I'd throw that in there.
Whereas in, by the time you get to the 90s, like late 80s, they have more of a Japanese influence. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's
a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, continue. Any Russians in the second Lego movie?
I don't think they had any Lego Russians.
Okay.
Per se. Lego Batman is back.
Okay, which, excellent. That's the best part.
Which, I mean, honestly, like, if you will look at the spinoffs, like, Batman was interesting enough, and Batman is interesting enough. Let's,
why don't we just make Will Arnett Batman, like, in a live action?
Well, I mean, Warner Brothers is looking for...
Why not? Is he too old?
The guy that directed Lego Batman is directing the Nightwing movie. Nightwing mm-hmm. is Robin when he grows up. Mm-hmm. It's grown-up Dick Grayson, or Richard Grayson, however you prefer. So, I mean, it's not outside of the realm of possibility that somebody from the Lego franchise be directing or involved with a mainline DC movie.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for a younger Batman, mm-hmm. so I don't know that Will Arnett is necessarily younger. And I think Matt Reeves is probably going to do a more serious take on the character. But if you will look at the Rotten Tomato scores, Lego Batman is one of the best reviewed Batman movies of all time.
Lego Batman, I just wasn't in the mood for some reason when we turned it on. You know, sometimes you're just not, I don't know. I wasn't in the mood. But what I heard was hilarious, so I need to rewatch it and pay attention.
We took the kids to see it in the theater in full, like, regalia. Like, I was dressed as Superman. Colt was dressed as Batman. Like, everybody was dressed as a DC, like, character. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So, like, not only were we in the mood for it, I mean, like, we were zeroed in, like, on it. I mean, the first movie kind of caught me by surprise. Like, I was really just expecting an hour and a half, 2 hour commercial for Legos. Like,
right.
I went because
Legos.
Yeah. And I had sat back, I had kind of prepared myself for it, and then it was really clever and mm-hmm. funny and well written, and I was like,
I'm in.
What? Like, just like I said, completely out of left field, was not expecting to enjoy that movie the way that I did.
And like, so now, let's talk about the follow-up to that movie
follow-up film?
That we're actually reviewing.
Now, I will say, I think this one was probably 40% less clever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lord and Miller did write this one, but they did not direct it.
Okay. Did Lord and Taylor direct it?
I don't believe that they did. however, the gentleman that did direct it, as I discovered later, had quite the interesting filmography. Not like you see Lord and Miller go on to direct Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got fired from Solo, but I mean. The two of them end up having a lot of hands in a lot of different pots. Like, one of them wrote Into the Spider-Verse, which both of us really enjoyed. Mike Mitchell is the guy that got the directing duties on the second movie. He has done such gems as Surviving Christmas, Deuce Bigelow,
Male Gigolo,
Shrek Forever After, which
oh my God, this is horrible.
Everyone fondly remembers as... The Shrek that killed the franchise. You're not exactly getting your top of the line. Oh, and for what it's worth, Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Which one?
Chipwrecked.
Oh.
The Godfather 2 of yeah. Chipmunk movies, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
The opuses? What? I'm just... So, you've got a lot less of a pedigree there, which may have contributed to... less of the cleverness. I found that about, I want to say, slightly less than halfway, it started picking up as far as, in terms of me just going, okay, okay, all right, this is funny. Like it, it was falling into a lot of the tropes that you see sequels fall into, and I'm just like, did the fact that I didn't expect it coming from the first one, did it make it that much better? Was it that much better? Or the fact that I'm expecting so much out of the second one, is that what is kind of tempering my expectation here?
Mm-hmm.
And like by the end of the movie, I think it had found its footing, but I don't think it's as sure as the first Lego movie, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the main story is it's a desolate wasteland and they need to fix it and make it awesome.
Well, the kind of the behind the scenes, like whereas in they were using the backdrop of the father that played with, this time the brother and the sister need to get along.
Mm-hmm.
And they are trying to prevent, it's our Momageddon. Essentially, mom has told them if they don't play together and they play nicely, she's going to put it all in Tupperware.
Okay.
So that's kind of the story that you're seeing played out in the Legos, but later on you realize that it's really about them trying to get along. Like, Sis is taking all of his toys without asking him. So, like, you start seeing Batman and Lucy and Emmett. Like, they're showing up in this very, very girly world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's got a queen. And, like, everything's like cakes. And, like, she can transform into
Wait a minute. You like cake and queen.
Right, right. But, well, not that kind of queen.
Okay.
And it's like a wedding cake.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, cake's cake, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm not picking.
Withdraw that.
But I'm just saying, like, it's not the cake that I would pick if you just give me a pick of any cakes.
Right. Cake? You must be a girl.
The queen, whatever she wants to be. Mm-hmm. Right? I think they pronounce it like whatever. They kind of like make it all into one word, like, and because it's a fake word, I'm having a hard time remembering their exact pronunciation.
Like Ken Watanabe?
That sounds right.
Oh, no, that's his actual name. Okay.
That's but, like, you're not far off on their pronunciation of it. But she basically, she takes a liking to Batman. And I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And the two of them, the kind of you're impetuous for the end of it and how she is going to bridge the gap between these two worlds, the little girl's world and the boy's world, is Batman is going to marry this queen. Because she's kind of sly about it as well. There is an entire song about why Kryptonians are better than Gothamites.
You're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested from high atop the Hinson Oakley Podcast Center with Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens.
The musical numbers, I think, are honestly what kind of started bringing it back into being clever for me. Like, when you first meet the queen, you suspect there is something potentially sinister about her.
Who voices the queen?
I will have to look that up. I don't remember it directly off the top of my head, but essentially she sings a song about how sinister she isn't.
Mm.
Like it's like, I don't want to kill you. I don't want to do like, she's going through all these things that she doesn't want to do. And Lucy's even pointing out, she's like, all you're putting is not and no in front of really dastardly sinister sounding things. And she's like, no, I'm not doing that. What are you talking about?
Clever.
Like I said, it's just, see, Tiffany Haddish.
Oh, yeah. I know who that is.
Girl, okay. Girls Trip, I guess. The Carmichael Show and something called You Is Wrong.
The Carmichael Show, I've actually seen. It's been canceled.
It's as things that you and I tend to enjoy.
I didn't not enjoy it, but it's one of those things where I was watching something and it just kept rolling and it rolled into the Carmichael Show. So every time I watched like Bob's Burgers, the next thing that rolled was Carmichael. And so there you have it.
And there it was.
It's another thing where he was a stand-up comic and now he got a show.
Tell you, if you want your own show, that seems to be the best way to go about doing it.
Speaking of, a brief aside, Ray Romano has one stand-up special on Netflix, but he recorded two shows with different material.
Gotcha.
And on one of them, he said, what? You don't have your own show yet? He goes, just a minute. Everyone gets their own TV show eventually. Everyone has a TV show.
Says Ray Romano.
Yeah, he's pretty much right. You know, everyone gets a TV show.
I mean, everybody does love him.
How could you not?
Just saying.
So, back to the movie. I'm going to assume this entranced at least children aged 5 to 10.
Well, we are taking them later. This one had to be done at the last minute.
For, air quotes, work.
Yes, which always seems to get the ire of people when I tell them it's for work. And then they're like, what are you doing? I was like, well, I have to go see this movie. And they're just like, what? That's not work. And I'm like,
well, kind of.
I have to have seen it in order to review it. And they're just like, you dirty resifrescent.
Do you think that two guys, dead now, those guys.
Siskel and Ebert?
Yes!
Okay. I don't know. Through that grand description, I somehow.
Do you think they had to take this from their friends? What, Roger, Gene, you got to go see another movie?
Oh, my goodness, I'm beat, guys. I'm just beat. What did you do?
Well, I had to go.
I watched three movies back to back today. Shut up.
And then I had to form an opinion.
Don't ever talk to me again, jerk. Jeez.
I wonder if they went through that. I am just going to assume they did.
Probably.
Because it wasn't that common when they started doing it.
And he'd be like, well, then I had to write an article
about
for the Chicago's, you know.
What, about a movie?
Son. And they, well, yeah, but I had to put words together about the movie. And they're just like, listen, man, I work in a quarry, okay?
I had to see a movie.
It is 17 degrees outside. And he's like, withdrawn, okay. Okay.
By the way, Siskel and Ebert don't actually speak like that.
No, nothing. We didn't. I mean, it wasn't even like it wasn't even a bad impression. Like it was just a non-impression.
You'll appreciate this. I had a conversation with a coworker the other day, and the entire conversation was both of us. And we communicated.
It takes talent.
Yeah.
Very special
person.
Special kind of, and I'm going to use some air quotes again. Talent.
Special.
Talent.
So, I'm going to assume this left room for a sequel because Legos, you can make them into anything.
Well, I mean, honestly, even if you don't, like the fact that Lego pretty much has every intellectual property save like maybe, I think,
Deadpool,
Halo, the Transform. No, they've got Marvel.
Oh.
So, like, Deadpool, they actually have a Lego Deadpool.
Okay.
Like, it's not. I don't think it's one that necessarily is at the forefront just because it's harder to sell that to the 4 to 12 crowd because he's based on a.
Yeah.
But Deadpool does have his own Lego set.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, Lego Marvel, Lego DC, like Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Back to the Future, Ghostbusters. I mean, like just about any popular or even unpopular. I'm sure like that Disney probably had one for John Carter that I don't know about.
I really did enjoy that movie.
But did you enjoy it $300 million?
No.
Okay.
I did not.
That's the catch.
I did not. Speaking of popular, which makes me think of Wicked, they have pushed back the release date on Wicked. So we're looking at Wicked, the movie, coming out in 2022, I believe Christmas 2022. And that, of course, leads me to Top Gun, also pushed back to 2021, like June of 2021.
Aren't they also doing the Mission Impossible? Mm-hmm. They're doing back-to-back.
Are they doing Lego Mission Impossible?
I'd watch that. I'm just putting it out there. Like, and eventually, let's see, because Cruise is what? In his mid-50s?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tom Cruise looks incredible for his age. Still doing, like, his own stunts, all that. But at some point, Tom Cruise will age like the rest of us. Like,
I don't know.
He is not going to be able to take those leaps off the... And I don't mean metaphorical leaps. I mean actual leaps off of buildings. Like, he's injured him. Like,
in my mind, in that Scientology building, he is the $6 million man. And they have just, like, replaced pieces of him.
So he's kind of like Cher, but, like, with robot pieces.
Yes.
Okay.
And the only thing that they're like letting his face age just a little.
For people listening that don't know who the...
Yeah.
They're just like, who? And they're like, yeah, Steve Austin. They're like, Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Yeah,
I'm like, no!
Whatever. Anyway, yeah, I believe they're just replacing bits and pieces of him so he can just keep going forever.
Or maybe, like, this is like a clone.
Oh, could be. I'd
like they just
that.
Keep
yeah.
replacing and downloading the memories from the previous cruise.
Through those canines of his, the vampire canines.
I'm thinking.
Has. Yeah.
I'm just saying, at some point, Tom Cruise will not be able to do the Mission Impossible movies that he's been doing for like, what, a quarter of a century now?
I'm tired just watching them.
Like, Lego Mission Impossible
That's
seems
doable.
Like the best possible way for, I mean, he could give up the character and let somebody else have the franchise, but he doesn't seem like that type of person.
Mm.
But at least he can still voice Ethan Hunt at that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Lego Mission Impossible, not a thing, but a thing we'd watch.
Yeah.
And the Lego 2, the second movie, or second part, second one, Lego 2 is G, PG?
It is. I believe, I want to say it's PG.
Okay.
I think it's PG. That sounds right.
Yes.
And I'm gonna say that's what it is.
So yeah, go see it. Just
like,
don't have huge expectations, but it's not bad.
Like it's just like a temper your proper expectations.
Matinee it.
I would say yes.
Yeah, matinee
like,
it.
Come for Rex Danger Vest, like, and hang around for Batman.
How many more days till Shazam comes out?
I want to say it's this summer, isn't it?
Oh, I thought it was like March.
Is it? No. That March is Oh, dear.
Not Shazam.
Captain Marvel.
Okay.
Which, funny enough, was Shazam's original name until it was trademarked under DC after they had purchased Captain Marvel from Fawcett Comics.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Shazam's original name was Captain Marvel, but now Marvel owns the name Captain Marvel because they created a character called Captain Marvel whenever they saw that DC had let the name lapse. It's really fun. Really just a jerk move.
Yeah.
Like, I think they were just like, well, we're Marvel. We should have a character called Captain Marvel. Well, doesn't DC own that now? Yeah. Check this out, though. They let it lapse. We should totally trademark that. There'll be two Captain Marvel.
They'll be so ticked off. So the Captain Marvel that is coming out, Captain Marvel is a female captain. Was that the case in the original comic books?
No.
Okay. I assumed
was
initially.
Was an alien called Mar-Vell.
Okay.
Listen, if you want me to do a separate podcast explaining all of it.
We'll wait on that.
No, this is actually, do you remember Rogue from the X-Men movies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the comic books, she took the powers from Miss Marvel. You know how she can do the touch and steal people's powers? Rogue originally worked for Mystique, who was evil.
Right.
And she basically had her put Miss Marvel in a coma, which gave her her memories and her powers. And Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel, in this movie, tremendously powerful. Like, basically, like, on a power level similar to that of Superman's.
Okay.
But in the X-Men movies that were not owned by Marvel at that point, you have a character whose powers are based on a character that 20th Century Fox does not have the rights to. So they can't explain why she has the ability to fly and all this, just that she has the ability to touch other characters and take their powers.
Okay.
However, Disney has now purchased 20th Century Fox, so if they wanted to do a Rogue that was properly powered or has the comic book origin, they could do that now.
Mm.
Just a weird bit of, let's say, some odd GPSing to get to that.
Does Captain Marvel ever hang with Captain America?
This film will take place in the 90s. Oh, if you have not looked up Captain Marvel's webpage for the new movie, it is done in like 90s, like the old like GeoCities that you like the old school
Sims?
90s like type of web pages like that like fans would do like it looks like that.
That's hilarious.
Like if this movie had came out in 1996, that's what the web page looks like. But it's for the movie that's coming out. It's brilliant. Like I
back when I had to learn HTML in order to make web pages.
It's fantastic. Like if it does not take you back, like, immediately, like, the fonts they're using, the background, like, I think it even has a MIDI file that plays.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm just, like, whoever did this for Marvel, like, it they probably put it together for peanuts, but, like, it is... It really does just bring you back to that moment in time.
So that is the next big release, but I'm sure there are many other movies that will not fare well between now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I would, if you're releasing a movie, I would steer clear of Captain Marvel's weekend. Disney in general and Marvel specifically have a really good track record.
Hey, when does Godzilla come out?
That's, are you sure that you pronounce that correctly?
It's not Godzilla.
Godzilla. I believe it is this summer. You talking about King of Monsters?
Oh yeah, that's what it's called.
The one where there's a fight in
the one with 11 in it.
There's a whole lot of monsters Godzilla! In that movie.
Like, I hope it's I love that.
I'm sure somebody will yell that at some point, and if they don't,
I'll yell it for them.
One of us can take care of it.
I am pretty excited about that movie. So it better be good, because I don't want to have to deal with disappointment again. So, Lego 2, sure, why not? And thanks for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.